Hello, I'm Ian. Welcome to Creator Coco. This podcast helps you become a better creator by helping you learn from what other creators have already figured out. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us a tweet at Creator Coco. That's creator and then C-O-C-O-A. In this episode, we talk about taking better photos and we explore the ideas of saturation, exposure, depth of field, and frame rates. I hope you learn something that helps you become a better creator. I wanted to talk about cameras and lenses and getting the kind of look you want, because over time, where I've realized for myself that that it's a journey. Sometimes when you start and you are recording yourself on video or trying to get some pictures, depending on the phone that you're using and depending on how you start, it might not be obvious to you the difference between a good picture and a bad picture. And this is important information nowadays because our world is now so visual. And it's important to be able to tell the difference between a good picture and a bad picture. Sometimes we know deep down, like based on our own human preferences, what is good and what is bad. It's just that you don't know how to describe it. So here I wanted us to talk about some of those words and how you can tell the difference. What do you think about that?
Well, personally, I don't know much about cameras, although it's something that's been reoccurring in my life a lot. Like when I'd be choosing to get a phone, I would look at the frames per second rate. Like I would go to the phone store and I would ask them. They see you and they actually think the all that they can sell for somebody is the selfie camera and a fancy looking phone. So I would ask, what's the FPS? And nobody knows. And that used to bother me so much. They just put like beautiful people in the store, not people who know what the specs of the phone are. And recently, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, I was in a matatu. And I was thinking about, I have two phones, my old phone and a phone I got recently. And my old phone, I remember when I first got it, I was like, these pictures are so nice. The video quality is so nice. Everything is so nice. But when I got this new phone, I'm like, this phone is so good. And even before I got the new phone, I began feeling like, why is the video quality on the other phone bad? Why is the camera kind of bad? And I was like, you know, when you buy a car and the taillights, headlights are looking nice, they are clear and everything. But after some time, they start turning yellow and stuff. And you're like, why does that happen? I began feeling like that's what was happening to my camera because it was clear and good in the beginning. Then suddenly, it's beginning to turn yellowish and all that. And along the way, as all these themes of good quality photos and good quality videos started coming my way, I got a call from the Kenya Film Classification Board telling me that I'd applied for something last year and if I was still interested, if I'd still be available. I literally forgot. I don't know when I applied, but they told me I had applied. So I had to like go back and check all my applications and stuff, and I found it. And in that class, we talked about this kind of stuff. It was kind of technical. So for me, who is only been into like cameras because of content creation, it was Greek to me. And most of the people in the class, like 90% are guys who studied filmmaking and stuff like that. And it made me feel like, yeah, I need to improve my game. I need to save up on money to get good filming equipment and all that stuff. And for knowing a good quality photo or video and one that's not, yes, it's kind of hard to say. Like, for instance, for the two of us have been into content creation and filming and all that stuff, even if it's just for personal reasons. So you'll see something. Personally, I will see something, a photo or a video, and immediately I just go, I don't like that quality. That quality is not okay. There's a lag here. There's a lag there and stuff like that. And somebody will be like, but it's okay. What do you mean it's not okay? And I don't know how to explain to them why the quality is not nice and stuff. Or I will post something on Instagram and then suddenly the quality has gone and people will be like, but it looks, and I'm like, no, that's not the quality I want it in. So I have to delete and look for where the internet is strong or whatever, and then re-upload and stuff like that. And people can actually get offended when you tell them that their work is low quality, because to them it's really good, especially people who are starting out. Somebody who's been in the game for long and their work is still bad, and you let them know the quality is poor and they catch an attitude and something, they have a big problem, according to me. It means they're not learning, they're not improving their skills in any way. But as a new person, even if I go back and look at the things I use, the photos I used to take, the videos I used to take, I'm like, I should have done better, I could have done better. But back then, to me, that was really nice, but it wasn't. Now I can see what I have now is nice. What I had then is no, I was just like beginner stuff. And I know 5 years from now, I'd be like, Michelle, you thought this was nice. Maybe if what I will have posted like 5 years from now, when I look back 5 years, later, I'll be like, by the way, that quality is really good for that time. Like the movies, and animations, the quality is so good for the time they were created and stuff. So I'll either be that, or I'll be like, you could have done better.
I know, here's the thing, you're completely right. That's exactly what I wanted to talk about, because I realize it's not obvious. Sometimes you have a difference of opinion with someone else about how something looks like, and also sometimes you take pictures and videos and then you think they're good, but in objectively they're not, and then you might be posting those ones, and then you think they're high quality. And you really don't have the vocabulary to explain. So I wanted us to first of all, it's awesome that you've brought up that idea itself. And now people should realize that it's possible for you to have different ideas of how a photograph looks like based on the quality. And also deep down, we have a way of knowing the difference between a good picture and a bad picture. It's just that sometimes if you don't know the right words to use, you can't describe it to someone else. So you can't tell them, oh, here, I think this is, it doesn't look right because maybe the exposure was too much, or maybe you need to change, it's too saturated. For example, one thing I see, and this is how basically a conversation can go. So we've talked about smartphones, and then we'll go down a list of other types of things which I feel like people can do to improve their photos online, and some of the things I see a lot of people doing. So the first thing you've mentioned there is the smartphones. Usually, when you're getting into the camera game, your smartphone is the one you usually start with. And you're right about the advertising, how they advertise it. Sometimes they advertise cameras as the best, but they're really not the best compared to the other cameras you can get. Personally, I feel like the best smartphone for cameras, for pictures, is probably an iPhone. If you can get an iPhone, even for one from 2 years ago, or like it doesn't have to be expensive. Those ones will always give you the best pictures. And then there's some Google phones on Android which can give you also good pictures. But also in some Samsungs actually, the latest ones or even the highest end ones from a few years ago, you can get those. But if you have a cheaper phone, you should take a look at your camera again and then try to compare that with what other people are taking online, and you might see a difference. If you realize that, then you might also now see that there's a difference between the state of your camera for your phone and what someone else is using. And that difference can be pretty huge when it comes to the quality that comes out.
Yeah, I support that honestly. Like the phone I bought, I only bought it for the sake of purpose, for the purpose of content creation, because like the front camera was like 109 megapixels. I forgot what the back camera is, but it's there. I'm looking at the wrong phone. There are like four lenses on the back. I particularly bought it just for that. And yes, I know Apple phones, they have good cameras, because all Apple models are built like flagship models, literally. They don't like build for the sake of small term marketing or for the sake of just getting money from small markets. They are all flagship models. However, I'm not quite keen on moving into iOS. I'm really an Android person, so maybe I would go the Pixel route. I thought of OnePlus, but when I was going to get a OnePlus, I looked at the OnePlus and I looked at the phone I have. And OnePlus, yes, good performance, but it wasn't going to serve me in the content route as I wanted. So when I get money, it's obviously going to be Pixel.
Pixel phones are known for their good quality cameras. Also, Samsung phones are also known for their good quality cameras. So if you're wondering why your pictures are not looking the best, so the first thing you can consider is your smartphone itself. If you can get something that is has a better camera, and you watch reviews online specifically for cameras, you can get nice smartphones. Now, what do we mean when you say that some cameras are better than others? And this usually comes down to the amount of detail that you can see in the picture. A good quality shot is going to have a lot of details, meaning that the human eye, like when you look at the picture, you can see even the tiny small things. If someone has fabric or they're wearing some clothes, you can see the folds. You can probably see some hints of, I don't know, even the weaving of the fabric and things like that. So details like that, even if it's a tree or nature, you can see individual leaves on the ground, individual blades of grass. That's one of the most obvious things that people can see, and it leads to one image looking blurrier. So if it's on a worse camera, it can look blurrier, and if it's on a better camera, it's going to look sharp and it's going to look clear. So that's one of the main differences that you're gonna get. The other thing that I see a lot of people doing, so now you've taken your camera, and maybe it's just an average camera, and then you've taken your shot. And maybe it doesn't have as much detail as you'd have wanted. So another thing I see a lot of people doing online is doing saturation. So saturation is the idea of and some of the things we're talking about. I know this is a podcast, so we can't show you the what we're talking about, but you can Google some of these ideas, and then on Google Images you could be able to see a difference between what so you'll see what I'm talking about basically. Saturation is interesting, because it's the amount of color that you add to an image. So if you make an image more colorful, usually people like that more. For example, if you look at images from Snapchat, if you look at images from I don't know that TikTok, but if you look a lot of images from Snapchat, you'll see that they're colorful. Like there's a layer of filtering that you can add that can make an image more colorful, and that's called saturation. It makes the reds richer. It makes the greens richer. It makes the image, pop out a bit more. And if you do that, if you add saturation in an artful way, that is definitely one way to go. But a lot of people, because you've taken a shot in the first place that the camera was lacking, you now have to make up for it by trying to bump up the colors, because to you that's going to look better. So then you see a lot of people online with profile pictures, which are full of saturation, so they look very colorful, which might look nice to them. But if you zoom out and you and to someone who has been looking at a balanced level of saturation, you're going to notice that this person's pictures are more colorful in such a way that they become even a bit cartoony. So I don't know what you whether you get what I'm trying to say, or whether you've experienced this for yourself.
Yeah, I get what you're trying to say because I've also done that saturation thing. And the thing with people who overuse saturation, they don't know how to balance the other filters. Like I notice if you're going to use saturation, you have to use the other filters too. Like you need to balance them because you're not just when you go and edit your photo, it's not always going to be saturation alone. And the more you saturate it, the worse it becomes. Like for instance, when you use this, there are two. There's one for clarity and there's one for sharpen. Sharpen looks nice when you use it just a little bit. When you use it a lot, the image just looks really, really bad. Same to clarity. And if you reduce clarity, I notice acts like a face beauty, skin beauty filter. If you reduce clarity, it kind of starts blurring out the photo and removes like some minor imperfections here and there. But if you use clarity so much, you're going to look like you took your photo with a very low quality camera. And on that part of saturation, I don't think people really know that their photos actually look bad. And when it comes to photo editing, one thing I've learned, even video editing, one thing I've learned, because it's something I was told, that when you're editing your videos, you may be thinking your video is okay because you've edited it, the sound sounds okay, it looks okay and everything. But remember, the screen you're editing your video on is not the screen everybody will watch from. People are watching from iPhones, people are watching from Samsung phones, are watching from Tecno, Infinix, all that stuff. And the screens are different. The way I'm going to see something on an LCD screen when editing is not the way it's going to appear on an AMOLED screen, even when editing photos. Maybe that person is using, say, let's assume an AMOLED screen and the colors look so bright, so crisp and everything. But when somebody else sees it on an LCD screen, it looks funny and vice versa. So for me, what I began doing was like when I use Canva, one, I edit on my PC, I look at it, then I go and check on my phone because the screen is AMOLED on my phone. I check on my phone and I'm like, this looks nice. This doesn't look nice. I even try and download and look at it on my PC, then look at it on my phone to see is it okay or not. Because what I may be seeing from my PC may look okay until I look at it on my phone and it's something totally different.
Yeah, that's very important to actually realize that different people are going to have different screens. And also if you so if your video is very focused on color, it's important for you to take note of that and to edit it also appropriately, and also to test your video if you need to, if that's an important part of your content. So let's say now that you have this good phone and it has good camera quality. And you are not overusing saturation. You're using it tastefully when it's appropriate and just a little. So the next biggest thing I find that before you know what it is, it's hard for you to notice it. Like, and it's just in the back of your head. Like you just see it in the picture, but you don't like you're not sure what it is about this picture, but you're like, this is not right. And what I'm talking about is called exposure. So exposure is basically the amount of light that is let into the camera. So let me, in photography, exposure is the amount of light per unit area reaching a frame or photographic film or the surface of an electronic image sensor, as determined by shutter speed, lens F number, and the scene luminance. So exposure is basically all about light. So that brings us to our next topic, which is basically lighting. So apart from thinking that you have a good camera and you're not overusing the filters, you also it's very also very important for you to think about what are the lighting conditions that I'm taking this picture in. Am I in some dark room where the light is not facing me? Am I in like the front of the sun where like everything is shining bright on my face? And so a lot of people sometimes just take a random picture and you don't think what are the lighting conditions that can make this picture even better. Like sometimes if you just change your angle a bit, your face is illuminated even more, or the subject is illuminated even more. And to add on top of that, we now that now comes to the word exposure, which means how much light actually ended up landing on the camera. Sometimes too much light ends up landing on the camera. Sometimes too little light ends up landing on the camera. When too little light ends up landing on the camera, and you don't have a camera that has something like night mode that iPhones have, or even the Pixel phones have some night mode, and also Samsung phones have some night mode. Nowadays with AI, the night modes have improved. But if you take a picture in the darkness and you're trying to take a picture of something, and you want that picture to be high quality, and your camera is not that good, you're going to end up with a blurry picture that has a lot of blocks and a lot of details are going to be missing because a lot of phones don't perform very well when there's not enough light. That's something that's only happening recently, that phones are becoming better at that. So you need to also make sure you're not in the dark. Sometimes also the conditions are too bright. And one way to notice this is whenever you look at a picture and then you look at the spots where the light is brightest, some white spot, the highlights, you look at the highlights. Whenever you see something is completely white, that's called being blown out. Like it's so white that you can't see the details underneath. It's called being blown out. Like for example, if you try to take a picture of the sun, sometimes let's say a sun through the through like some leaves. If you overexpose, it means that some of the parts of the sky will not be visible, and you're going to just see a white kind of shiny, a white thing shining. And that means you've overexposed a little. So you need to reduce the exposure so that it just reaches the perfect amount of light that lands on your phone. So what do you think about lighting? How has your experience been in the past?
I think lighting is very, very, very important. Whether you're going to use your own artificial lighting or you're going to use natural lighting. Like, for instance, you want to take a photo, you want to take a video. If you want to be, for the best lighting, you need to be facing the source of light, not away from it. If the source of light is behind you, it's going to interfere, unless you have a very, 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 very high-tech phone. Otherwise, you need to be facing away, or if you're using a very, very high-tech camera, like the ones they use in movies, you can see the sun is there and the people are facing the sun. They're facing the sun and everything is still okay. Otherwise, facing away from the light would actually really, really help you. Like, wait, yeah, facing the source of light, not away from it. You need to be facing the source of light, whether it's a ring light, whether it's those other big lights they use in studios, or it's just sunlight and stuff like that. Because just a little mistake with the lighting will interfere with the whole of your video. For instance, when people begin, like say a YouTube career, and they're recording YouTube videos or even just TikTok videos, they've done a lot, they're done recording, now they want to go and edit their work. They've even changed their setup, they're sitting down to edit their work, and suddenly they can't see anything. And they've given out so much information. They were so excited during the video, but now you can't see anything. And I feel like many people are oblivious to this, or they're just like, ah, I don't care, but I've made a video and I've posted it. So they just post that video the way it is with poor lighting. Or others will be like, if it was me, I'd be like, so mad, my lighting is bad. So now I have to redo the video. So what I personally like doing is I test run the lighting of my scenery, let's say scenery. So I do like maybe a 15-second video to see if my ring light is positioned well or if the natural lighting is okay. Then I look at it and I'm like, if it's okay, then that's what I'm going to do. If I'm using the back camera, that is. If I'm using the front camera, I can obviously see if it's okay or not okay. A little mistake with lighting, and that's that. Even the way you move close to your screen or away from your screen, from your close to your camera or away from your camera, when it comes to like smartphones, it actually interferes with your lighting because your phone will decide it's going to pick only one part of the video, and everything else is dark, and it picks the most irrelevant part.
Yeah, I know what you said there is important, which is that when you start now thinking about lighting, it helps you to create a consistent look. And when you can create a consistent look, it means you can now improve intentionally, and you're not just doing things randomly. So that you're like, oh, my lighting, I want it to look like this. So this is how I'm gonna set up the light. Here's how I'm gonna do this. So if you're making video after video, your look ends up being consistent, and you're like, oh, maybe I should improve it a little. Maybe you basically have something you can build on top of. And also, apart from that, and also a lot of these things are also psychological. So when we watch a lot of YouTubers and we watch a lot of movies, apart from just the lens and things like that, and even the editing, a lot of what captures our attention as human beings is the light, is how the light, they've played with the light, and even other YouTubers, you can see it, like some of them have like an orange light here and a blue light there. Then the light is mixing to create a light, another light in the middle, and then that's what's reflecting on their face. And so people really think about lighting intentionally. So if you want to take your game to the next level, improve your lighting. So improve your lighting so your camera can get even more light and better looking light and more intentional light. And there's a whole science behind lighting. Do you have anything to add there about lighting or anything like that?
I've never had an issue with it personally, but somebody told me when you're using a ring light, you should take off your lenses because it gives some harsh glare or reflection. But I cannot see without my spectacles, so I just keep using my ring light. Plus, looking at my videos, I've not seen like the harsh glare and everything.
Okay, yeah. So, now if you ever on Instagram or something, then you see like a picture, but you see one part of the image, which is supposed you're supposed to be able to see details there, but it's completely white, then you know that's called it was overexposed. Or if you see it's too dark, maybe it was underexposed. So yeah, so now we've talked about now your camera quality. So initially you talked about smartphones, but it's also possible for you to get a DSLR or something more expensive to film yourself, and they all have their own different lenses that you can use, but that's much more expensive. And it's important to for me to spread the message that content creation is accessible, and people are building empires, basically media empires, from their smartphones. So you don't need to feel pressured to buy an expensive fancy camera and an expensive lens, because other people are doing it from their phones. So don't blame the equipment. It's you need to build your audience first. But yeah, so now you have your lens and your camera, you're better at editing, you now have set up the light. Now let me talk about the other thing that human beings subconsciously love looking at, but you might not know what it's called. And this is called the depth of field. So depth of field is this effect that adds a blur behind the subject. So if you look at a camera or a shot of someone, subconsciously you can also tell quality based on how blurred or what the quality of the blur behind the subject. So for example, sometimes you're looking at someone's face, and then there's a slight blur that goes into the background, and so that the subject or the person is in focus. And that is usually a nice effect compared to when everything is in focus, meaning that you can see the background and the foreground at the same time. Usually your eye is distracted, but a gentle depth of field, or it's called a bokeh. So this bokeh effect can really take your video to the next level. It can make you seem like you have a high quality look. So have you heard about bokeh or depth of field before? Is it something you've tried to achieve?
Well, I've heard of those names. Like, I know those names exist. I never even knew that effect in videos, that's what it's called. Like, I never knew that's what it's called. But it would just make sense because I've used like bokeh in editing videos and stuff like that to blur out some parts. Maybe you're blurring out the face of someone who doesn't want to be in the video or things like that. But knowing that quality in a camera, like that name, I never knew at all. I never knew.
Oh, but let me now clarify. So the bokeh is not a blur that happens like intentionally, like with the like you don't go into your editing software and add a blur. That's more like an effect, like Gaussian blur. So the bokeh is an effect you get out of the camera itself, because of the physics of light or something like that. Where sometimes have you seen pictures where maybe you can see someone in the foreground and then in the background. If there's a like if there are sources of light, maybe it's like a clear Christmas tree, the lights are in circles or ovals in the background. So that's kind of an effect. It's not something that you can okay, now right nowadays smartphones are trying to do to add them digitally, use to add that effect digitally using AI, but it usually happens because of your camera and the size of your sensor if you have a high quality camera. And also when you're watching a YouTube video and then you think this picture is high quality, one of the things that's going to be making it high quality or making that YouTuber stand out is going to be you're going to notice probably some bokeh if it's a good if it's a nice look. But there's also YouTubers who don't use it at all. But it can help take your scene visually to the next level. So if you're doing a vlog and then you have a nice camera, it has bokeh in the background. That's going to look high quality to the people who are watching. Or if you're sitting at your desk doing makeup or something, and you have a nice bokeh, people are going to notice that. Like I see a lot of even makeup YouTubers using bokeh with their videos. So those are the main things I wanted to discuss today. So your smartphones or your cameras, your camera quality, and the amount of detail that you get from your so here are the things you should note: your smartphone, your camera quality, the amount of detail you're getting from your picture. If you zoom in, how much detail do you get? Saturation and also editing. So saturation goes with all the other effects that you can use, including the filters, including all the other stuff that you get. So be careful with those and make sure that you're using them in a subtle and artistic way. You're not just using it to cover up flaws. There's also lighting and things like exposure. And thinking about, do you have enough light? Are you well lit? Is it too much light? Is it too little light? And also the smartphones have things like night mode, so you need to think about that. And then depth of field and bokeh, you also consider the, you know, is the background blurry or is it in focus? Is the subject the one in focus, you know? So yeah, and also you mentioned about the different kinds of screens. So you also note that different people will be watching your content on different kinds of devices. And so you need to test it. If it's important for you to show color in a certain way, then you should test your videos to see how they're gonna work. Is there something that you think of? Like, okay, I'm sure we could go into even more detail, basically. I'm sure there's many more things we can talk about. And actually, I can do a part two of this at some point. But is there anything you think is important to note about cameras? Well, I also think about something.
I think because when I began researching, when I wanted to get into YouTube, I began researching on cameras. I saw that one thing that's really important when you want to buy a camera is that it has a display screen. So you can see yourself being recorded, so you can know, oh, I'm in frame and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that's called I think a monitor where you can easily see what's going on, and it's convenient for you if you have like a DSLR or something like that, right? Yeah, I've also thought of something. The last thing we'll talk about, it's called frame rates. So another thing, another effect that sometimes we want to add to our videos is a slow motion effect, or you want if someone is running for it to look a specific way. And frame rate is basically how many frames, like so when a video is being played to you, it's being played at a certain speed of a certain number of pictures are being shown on the screen on your eye, to your eye basically every second. And there's different kinds of rates that can happen. So it can happen at 24, it can even happen at 16, it can happen at 1 frame per second. But there's usually some which human beings have decided, probably arbitrarily, or I don't know how they decided, but this frame rates people have decided on. So one of them is 24 frames per second. This is the one I think it's a cinematic one, and it's cinematic because it creates something called motion blur. So whenever something is moving in the screen, there's a slight blur that I don't know, it creates an effect so that if you're moving, you're not too sharp. And then there's others like 39. Oh, sorry, not 39, 30 frames per second, the 60 frames per second. And this also comes into slow motion. So if you want a high quality slow motion, and that's something a lot of people would want, maybe you want an effect where something's happening in slow motion and you want it to look cool. Sometimes if you try to do that with your phone and then you try to slow down that video, you're going to notice that it's choppy. So you can see it flickering as it's going down, which is very annoying because you can tell this is not quality. Or I tried to create a slow motion effect, but it's going like it's stuttering as it's moving, and you don't want that to happen. You want a smooth slow motion. And the answer there is to think about the frame rate. So for example, your eye can probably like there's a limit to how many frames your eye can see before it starts flickering. So maybe the maximum, let's say, is 24 frames per second. No, let's say even I think it's even less than that. If you can get your frames to, I don't know, 20 frames per second, maybe the human won't notice. But if it goes below that, this is arbitrary, but if it goes below that, someone will start noticing that. And the reason why that happens is because you didn't shoot your video at a high enough frame rate. And what I mean here is if you want the person who's watching to see your video at 24 frames per second, that's your target, then you should, and you want a slow motion and you want them to be twice as fast, then you need to shoot your video at 48 frames per second. Then when you slow it down, it lands at 48 frames per second, or the frame rates match. So if you shoot something at a weird frame rate and then you try to match it to other footage, then the individual who's watching is going to notice that somehow the stuttering or something doesn't match in your video. And that's usually one subtle effect that people don't subconsciously, people don't realize consciously. When the frame rates don't match, and how many times the video is being shown to your eye every second, when that doesn't match for the whole video, your eye can notice and it can tell that this slow motion is not good slow motion, or this, yeah, or something like that. So have you ever tried doing slow motion before? What do you think about all this?
Yeah, I've ever tried doing slow motion before, and to me it wasn't, maybe it was the frame rate or it wasn't, or it was the device, because I would try and I record the video like normally, then I'm going to do slow motion, and maybe I try and do it by -4 or like -6. Then yeah, it would actually lag depending, I feel like it was depending on the device, but it may have also been like on frame rate. That may have been the reason. I'm not sure. Maybe it's both or one of the two. But then when I was using on my new phone, it wasn't lagging the way it would lag on the old phone. So I'm not sure because the new phone, The FPS is higher than on the old phone. So I'm not sure if it was FPS or if it was the type of device.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's important to think about those kinds of things. So if you want something smooth, you think about the frame rate. What am I shooting it at? Also, when you're editing, you make sure you keep the frame rate consistent because sometimes you can take footage from your phone at a certain frame rate and then you add it to your editing at another frame rate. And then for some reason, that makes your video look weird when you're editing. And then you're like, huh, I thought this footage was okay, but something weird happens there in the editing as well. So that's frame rate. I'm sure there's more stuff, but this was a very interesting discussion. I think I've also learned a few new interesting things. What did you think?
Yeah, I think this was really interesting and all the more reason for me to like go and be serious with my video editing and filming and all that stuff.